Well, if that don't light your fire, your wood's wet. That's good stuff. All right, at this time, we're going to turn the service over to the Jameses and see what God has for us.
All right, well, good evening. Just want to say thank you to the church and Pastor. He's not here tonight, but for just really the opportunity to present the ministry. Obviously, it's been a few months since we went to Guatemala, but we had some death in the family and some kids sick, and then we had Easter, so it kept getting pushed back and back and back, and finally, you know, we set a date, and normally we don't do it on a Wednesday night. It's a little bit different, so I appreciate all of you guys being here. And hopefully you can see tonight just a little snapshot of what takes place if you haven't seen one of these before on our mission trips. So in February, get my clicker out here so we can follow along. So in February, we went to see the Coates family in Guatemala. We had been there 2 years ago in 2022, and in La Esperanza. And man, it was just such a blessing to see the people of the church. Many of them we knew and we recognized going back, and several of them have just been faithful members, you know, over the past few years. And it was just a real encouragement to us to just see them faithfully serving, just like, you know, many of you who have been here for so many years.
So this is a smaller team for us. We only had 13 team members, and that's if you include our two children, which actually means there was like 23 people to handle instead of 13. And about half of the team were new team members. And that also adds a whole new dynamic to the team. But we were still able to treat over 700 patients. And that's an incredible number for a team of 13 to treat 700 patients in 4.5 days of clinic is impressive. And that's because we had a really hard-working team. But not only did our church members and our team members work hard, but we had a group of Guatemalans from La Esperanza, from that church, that, man, did they ever work hard. They just dug in, and they were, I said this the last time we went there, but they were a true example of what we should be doing in our church. Like, they took off work without pay for an entire week, and they were at our hotel. They woke us up, their teens, by knocking on our door in the morning to give us a wake-up call, and they stuck with us until the last one of our team members went to bed. And there were 22 salvations during the week while we were there, and before we even left the country, they sat down as a group, their team, and they had divided up those contacts of not only the 22 for follow-up, but what they were going to do with the other patients, the 680-something patients that had come through the clinic. So not everybody got saved, obviously, that came through the clinic, but 704 seeds were planted, and we're thankful for the opportunity to partner with their church to reach their area. So thank you for those of you who prayed hard for our bags as we go through customs. We have a handful of you who will message us and say, hey, I know you're on your way to the airport. Hey, did your bags get through? We're praying for you right now in customs, and we really appreciate those people. They checked our paperwork, made copies, and pushed our totes through. Like, they didn't even open our totes, so it was amazing. We loaded up. We drove to La Esperanza after we had a really good meal, kind of got reacquainted with some of our friends. And then on Sunday, Brother Coates translated for Brother Stone as he preached, and he did a really good job. If you have never had to work with a translator, it's tough. I've never preached. But I don't ever want to have to do that with a translator. It's hard work. And then on Sunday afternoon, we treated the church members and their immediate family and their close friends. And then we opened up the clinic for the public Monday through Thursday.
So triage is a really important part of the clinic, the important station. Really, this is the first time that the people that are coming through will see an American face. You know, it's the first time that they'll see them. The station before this is the registration, and typically that's Guatemalan people that are registering the patients coming through. So the triage area is very important, and Brother Scott, he's here in the back. He'll be sharing a little bit later. He did an amazing job He's a friendly guy. If you don't know him, I'm surprised you don't, because he talks to everybody. He's a friendly guy, and it was just the perfect spot for him. He had an awesome time, and you'll hear that in a little bit. But he just greeted each patient with a smile. He just dug in there. If there was an issue with something, he just made a decision and fixed it. You know, there's always some little minor things that we have to change sometimes with the flow of the clinic. And, you know, he's a problem solver, and he was in the right spot. And so, you know, most importantly, just making people feel welcome, making people feel loved, like they're welcome at the clinic.
So every day that we were there, we had lines. And if you've been with us before, you know, sometimes you show up and there's three people in line, and sometimes you show up and there's 283 people in line. And on that last day, we showed up, and we had patients who had started lining up at 3:30 a.m. Now, I'm going to go off script for just a second here. I know who to blame for that, and that truly is Brother Scott. And the reason why I say that is this. Every single country, the news media comes through, and they do an interview, and they usually drag Phil and I out there, and we have a translator, and we explain what we're doing. Well, this time around, Phil, we did that, and Phil and I went back to work, and unbeknownst to us, they came back through. So they got Savannah in pharmacy, and they got Brother Stone, and the next thing I know, everybody is saying, Brother Scott is out there doing an interview. And I said, well, who's his translator? And they said, he doesn't have one. He's doing it in Spanish. Now, Brother Scott does not know Spanish. And so I went back and I watched the video, and I truly think that the lines on Thursday were because they were really interested in this guy. They had to come to triage to see him. So meanwhile, I met a lady in line that day that had been in line for 9 hours to get a pair of reading glasses. She came through, Brother Stone saw her, and I went outside to give her glasses and her vitamins. She was a little older lady, and she said that she only came through to get reading glasses so that she could read her Bible. Now, the main goal of our team is to introduce people to the gospel, right? But it's also exciting to get to help those Christians as well. We take for granted, we have a Bible to read in our own language. We have an education that teaches us to read, and a lot of the Guatemalans do not have that opportunity. And we have glasses so that when we get as old as Phil and I, we can read. And these Christians taught us an important lesson, right? They showed us that God's word was super important. Important enough that they were willing to get in line at 3:30 and wait all day, skip lunch, so that they could get a pair of glasses to read their Bible. Now, Cheyenne, I don't see her here tonight. She may be working. She's been on a couple trips with us now, and she's really been an answer to prayer for our team. The Hartzlers have been amazing. She's not only a really good nurse, but she's super patient. She is kind with every patient that comes through that clinic. She's great at educating them. Because this was such a small team, she saw nearly every single one of those medical patients, and we could not have gotten through the lines without her. And then in this picture, you'll also recognize, for those of you who know the Coates, that's Miss Tammy Coates, Brother Coates' wife, and she translated for us all week in medical.
So as we mentioned, 22 people got saved on this trip, and Brother Coates and his team, I mean, they're continuously sharing the gospel, and it's most of the time it's one-on-one or maybe, you know, a couple that's coming through together. So just think of that for 4 days, just, you know, continually sharing the gospel. You know, it's tiring, it's, you know, mentally exhausting, but they did an awesome, you know, job, and their church worked, like we said, worked really hard to make the trip a success. You know, again, our goal is not large numbers. We're not, you know, trying to see 100 people saved or something on every trip. You know, obviously the Holy Spirit works in people's lives and hearts and brings them to Him. But, you know, it's worth it just if one person comes to Christ. Amen. And so, Brother Coates, and again, as Rachel said, they followed up. They're going to follow up with all the people that made professions of faith or got saved, and also people that heard the gospel and came to the clinic.
So a few pictures back, we said that Scott worked in triage, and Chris also came along, and he did a really good job. Now, our family didn't really know Scott or Chris that well. We do now. But man, this kid worked hard. And so I have to say, like, publicly, I honestly didn't know what to expect with Chris, because I didn't know Chris. But I will say, I would be happy to take him on another team. He had a great attitude. We put him in situations that most teen boys wouldn't have been comfortable with, and he jumped in, he ate the food, he had a smile on his face. He rode in the back of a truck with a bunch of Guatemalans that did not speak his language up the side of a volcanic mountain. Anyways, all that to say, Chris, that we really appreciate your good attitude, and that's a lot for a teen. I don't know that I would have had that kind of attitude as a kid. And then again, this was the Stones' first medical mission trip. And again, they didn't know what to expect from us, and we didn't know what to expect from them. But they jumped right in, and they worked hard as well. Brother Stone started out counting out medications for us. As any of you that have ever been on our trip knows, that's the most boring job. You just sit there, count six groups of five till you get a bag of 30. But when we saw quickly how long that optical line was, I gave him a super quick crash course, and he jumped right into fitting patients with glasses and did an awesome job. We had a little bit of an issue with Brother Stone in that all the little elderly ladies wanted to go to his station and take selfies with James Stone, so on their little flip cameras. So we had to plant Miss Stone right next to him, you know? So every trip requires a lot of behind-the-scenes people. Miss Judy and Mrs. Stone on this trip, they were those people. They counted meds, they watched our kids, they stuffed puppets, they put toothbrushes in bags, they helped in pharmacy, they did all the things that were needed to do behind the scenes to keep those patients flowing through the clinic. What most people think of when they think of medical missions is they think of somebody with a stethoscope seeing patients or somebody with a pair of glasses fitting someone for patients. But the two of us know that none of that would happen if we didn't have those people behind the scenes doing all of those other things for us. And so we really appreciate both of you for doing that.
All right. So I used to be in pharmacy. I'm no longer in pharmacy now. We started our optical.
He's not allowed.
we started our optical. You know, that's my excuse. But I've mentioned before, Savannah likes, she's kind of OCD, and so I wasn't allowed back in. I wasn't quite organized as she is. So anyway, I'm happy in optical. But no, in all seriousness, you know, these the pharmacy team. Again, it's a kind of a thankless job, kind of behind the scenes, filling orders, and they just kept everything organized, kept everything moving. You know, if patients are waiting for their medication, you know, sometimes they may get a little bit,
annoyed.
Annoyed, yeah. So we try to keep them moving through. You know, they go to the evangelism and hear the gospel, and then after that, we try to have those medications ready. So our pharmacy team did a great job. Savannah's been on several trips, and Amber, this was her second trip, and so both of them did a great job. Miss Sim learned the pharmacy as well, kind of threw her in there too, and she did a great job as well.
She doesn't like spiders.
There were some spiders in that room, but you know, it's part of the atmosphere there in Guatemala. So, okay, so fitting patients for glasses. Now, fitting patients requires a lot of patience, no pun intended. And Brother Clovis has a lot of patience. If you know him, he's very meticulous, methodical in almost everything he does, and it's no different. In the optical area, he does a great job, and it is important to take your time with the patients as they come through. Make sure that you get them the right pair of glasses, and he does a great job. There are times where we kind of consult each other. We may get sort of frustrated to ourselves about, man, I just cannot find the right pair of glasses. Sometimes maybe somebody has astigmatism, something else going on that we're just not catching. And so we do have to kind of help each other out. But he again, has just really grasped that the importance of just taking time with the patients and making sure that they know that they're important, you know, not just to us, but to Christ at the same time. So we use a universal eye chart. It's for patients either if they can read or they can't read. It works for both. And so it's just a kind of a easy tumbling E, and so basically they can either point or some of them say the letters it may represent. And again, this is important because We don't want to embarrass people if they can't read. That way they can just do what everybody else is doing, just point in the direction that the E is pointing. And it works very well. Even people that can read, they may do this, or they may say EW3. It's awesome. You just have to come with us and see it in action. But again, this is where, for those of you who maybe have donated toward either medical missions or maybe specifically for the optical equipment and things like that, this is where your money is going. We again provide a pair of glasses. Basically, it costs us total about $5 for a pair of glasses. And it's we're not charging the people for them. They're free of charge. But it's just a great investment. It doesn't take a lot of money to just put a smile on somebody's face. We also have reading glasses and sunglasses. Most of these countries are close to the equator, and so sunglasses are very important. A lot of them have damage to their eyes just because they don't have sunglasses, and those are really cheap. We can get really actually good pairs of sunglasses. Brother Scott wore a pair all week because he forgot his, and it costs us, because we buy them in bulk, about 70 cents. So most every person that comes through picks out a pair of glasses, sunglasses as well.
Well, not everything about medical missions is hard work. We do try to have a lot of fun on our teams. And the last time we were there, we realized that the teens at Brother Coates' church love Dutch Blitz. Now, our family loves Dutch Blitz, but those teens take it to a whole new level. In fact, the last time we were there, a table actually got overturned during the game, and there was actual blood drawn. And so we knew going into it, like, we have got to be prepared. So Abby practiced specifically for this trip. And we got the bulk sets of Dutch Blitz and took them an extra couple decks to leave with them. But on that, we had a lot of Guatemalans playing with us. Now, playing a game in two different languages is quite interesting as it is, but we ended up with a tournament. So we would eliminate two and put in one, eliminate two and put in one, until we got down to the final two standing was Brother Colts and Abby James. And at the very last minute, he beat her. And she said it's because she wasn't on her A game. She was tired, all kinds of excuses. But she's already prepping for the next trip. In fact, she asked me, what does the 2025 schedule look like? Are we going back to Brother Coates? Because we got to order some more Dutch Blitz cards. So we do have a lot of fun.
So typically on each trip, we do have a fun day and kind of see the sights. Most of the time, the first 5 days we're working pretty hard, or we're in church attending the services, things like that. So we're able to see the country a little bit. This trip, we actually got to hike up a volcano and down into the crater, which it now is a lake. And it's, again, we're at pretty high above sea level. It's about, I looked it up, the lake is like 7,100 feet above sea level. So we were up quite a bit higher than that. And it was very physically challenging, I guess. We're used to being at, I don't know, maybe 200 feet above sea level here, something like that. It's a lot different, but it was a great time, just beautiful, just to see just God's creation. We could see the city from up there, just beautiful. And we always try to just make that last day a fun day to kind of see the sights and enjoy each other's company. So everybody after the trip, most everybody bought there was a little stand with ice cream cones and things like that. They were trying to sell people, and it was really good, and we were all exhausted, and it was really dusty, of course, being a volcano, and there was a lot of dust blowing around. It was kind of windy. We didn't get pictures of everyone, but I can guarantee almost everybody looked about this dirty, at the end of the trip. But Eddie, he loves his ice cream, and we had to throw this one in there.
So we do have a lot more pictures and more stories about that we could tell you about how God worked on this trip. And if you want to go with us on another trip, we'll have time to tell you all those. We could tell you how God got us through traffic when it seemed like we were going to miss our flight. I cannot tell you how close that was. You don't want to miss the last flight out of the day. We could tell you how Delta employees literally stood in the boarding gate with their foot in the door and said, "You cannot close until this team gets here," and helped us carry bags as we quite literally ran. Like, think all your bags running through the airport. We got our luggage there and back We could tell you how God provided safety for our team through all that. And most of all, he sent us those exact patients that we needed. And every trip, Phil and I pray very specifically that God will give us the exact patients, not only that our team can handle, because there's a limit to what our team can see, there's a limit to our medications and our supplies, but also there's a limit to what the missionaries can follow up on. And so we pray every single trip, God, if our missionaries can follow up on 200 patients, let us see 200. And God gave us the exact patients that we needed this time. And he used this little small team to encourage our missionaries. I just read, they literally just posted their prayer letter today with a recap of our trip. And it is nice to see that we can encourage our missionaries as well. He let us see 22 patients that come to know Jesus because of ethical, medical, and optical care. And then we got to help their church show their community that their church loves them and that they need a savior. And that's the whole goal of all of this.
So looking ahead, we're heading to Uganda. Maybe some of you have heard about that, and that will be in June. So we'd ask that you would just please pray for the approval process for the medications to get them in country. Every country is different, and it depends on, you know, what year you go. It may change. And so there's a lot of, you know, behind the scenes work on that and getting the approval process. A lot of times God brings along the right person. You know, maybe the missionary knows them, or, you know, we know them through mutual friends, just to be able to kind of help us, somebody there in country that can help us with the process. So pray for that. Pray for protection. Again, you know, it's a long way. It's a couple long flights. And again, while we're there, protection, safety, you know, there's anything can happen. It could happen here. It can happen there. But just pray for God's protection. And then also looking ahead to next year, or I'm sorry, a little bit later this year, we're going to Honduras in November. So we haven't opened the trip yet, but if you're at all interested in taking a trip with us, please pray about that. Think about that. We can get you more details. If you see us specifically, we can give you some of those details. But I can guarantee you your eyes will be open if you haven't been to another country, if you haven't been out of the U.S. You'll definitely be in for, I guess, an eye-opening experience is what I would say. We're going to see the Leakeys, who we just took on last year. And so we haven't been to their actual church before, so this will be new for us, and we're excited about that. And then next year, we're working on the calendar right now. We're planning to go to Mexico in the first quarter, probably March. So if maybe you can't go this year, think about next year. We're going back to see the Bradleys. We've been there a few times, so it isn't something that's brand new that we've never been there before. We've been there several times. They're going to be with us in, I think, a couple months. So you'll be able to meet them. If you haven't met them already, they're just amazing. Amazing couple, have an amazing ministry over there. Just keep those in your mind. If you do have questions, come and see us, and we can get you some details on how we can make it happen and have you join us. So we're going to have some testimonies. Rachel's going to tell just a quick story, and then we've got a few of our team members coming up to do a testimony, and then this Brother Stone, and they'll close it out. So
we like to go back to countries that we've been to. I love to go back to the Bradleys, and we literally couldn't, like, they texted us and said, hey, can y'all come in spring of 2025? Absolutely, like, we don't have to question that. We love to go back to ministries that we've been to before, and as Phil said earlier, we were in Guatemala in 2022. So on Sunday afternoon, as people are coming through the clinic, we recognize some of these faces of patients that were coming through the clinic, and one of the ladies and her son that came through the clinic had come for the first time in 2022, and I believe it was Brother Renz, but one of them led her to Christ. And since that time, they have been plugged into that church, and they have come faithfully, and they helped us throughout the week. And it's reassuring to know that medical missions done the right way has the results that God wants us to have. And so it was exciting to see those faces and to say there was a reason for us going in 2022. And if the reason was that lady and that son getting saved and now getting plugged into that church, and now they are being discipled and they're sharing the gospel and they're bringing their friends who are getting saved, But because this was such a small team, the medical side of it was bare, right? So we normally have people in triage like Brother Scott, and then patients go through and they see a provider, and I'm involved in that quite a bit, and then help with the pharmacy, and then we normally have another nurse that's dispensing the medications for us, and that didn't happen on this trip. And so they came through triage, and then they went to Cheyenne, and I helped some with that, and I did their ultrasound, and then I went to pharmacy, and I checked all their meds and made sure it was safe, and then I took them outside and I explained their medications. And so I got to meet every patient that came through the clinic this time, which was different for me. It's something I haven't had to do before, but I'm really glad that God had me out there because I needed to learn a lesson. So I was standing out there passing out medications, and all of a sudden there was this disruption happening, and we don't like disruptions. Disruptions are usually not a good thing. But I looked over towards the evangelism area trying to make contact with Brother Coates, and I realized that Brother Coates was standing there just as excited as the rest of the people. And come to find out, one of their teens that their church has been praying for his mom for 8 years. And she came through the clinic. She saw Cheyenne. She went through evangelism and she got saved. And for 8 years, that church had prayed for that lady. And the joy on their face, it literally caused a disruption in that little courtyard. The joy on those people's faces and the celebration that happened out there was amazing. It was great to see. But man, it hit my heart hard. When is the last time that Heritage Baptist Church has prayed for 8 years for one person? Earnestly prayed. Not just a little, let's make sure this person's on our prayer list, but an absolute begging God to save one of our family members. When is the last time, Brother Barker is in here, but when's the last time True North, Phil? When's the last time we prayed as a class for somebody's family member for 8 years without giving up? And when's the last time Rachel James? When's the last time I've done that? I'm just as guilty as everybody else. When's the last time I've done that? That I've prayed so consistently that when I saw God answer my prayer, it literally caused an eruption in that courtyard. And I think, yes, we get excited when somebody comes down to the altar and they get saved, and we may come by and we may shake their hands, but where's our excitement? Where's our joy? And so I really do think that this team of 13 team members, initially when I realized, oh, we don't have Miss Beverly to pass out medicines, and oh, we only have one nurse, and we don't have a sonographer, and oh, I'm going to be overwhelmed on this trip. And I didn't really understand why that was happening. But now I know why, that God had 13 team members on this trip, and that was so that I could see what happened in that courtyard that day, because it has changed me since I got home. There's people on my prayer list now that have become urgent for me to pray for. So all of that to say, I'm not up here to preach, but I am up here to say that I would love for nothing more than for our church to be, to follow the example of La Esperanza, of that church, to where we pray so urgently for somebody that it changes everything we do. Those people took off work for a week because they knew that somebody needed Jesus. And it's easy for us to take off work. We take vacation time to go on medical mission trips, but would we sacrifice an entire week of pay? Would we sacrifice all of our time for a week to make sure that one person saw Jesus? And that church did that week. I would encourage you, Brother Scott's going to come up here in just a little bit after Savannah, but if you have a kid like Chris, bring them on a mission trip. We absolutely will take your teens so that they can see that too, because if it affected me after seeing it for the last, since 2005, seeing this over and over, it can change your teen's life. And that's all I have to say.
As Savannah comes up, I've been asking her to speak after every trip that she's gone on, and she just wouldn't speak. So I know she's a little nervous, and I get nervous up here too, honestly. But I appreciate her coming and sharing something tonight. And I think what pushed her over the edge is she wanted to defend herself, because every time I bring up, you know, something about her. But we did want to give her a gift, because this may get mentioned, but she's had some injuries on these trips, and one of them, I know it wasn't my fault, it was a suitcase falling on her head. We were on the bus, and all of a sudden, this suitcase fell on her head, honestly, and I thought she was going to get knocked out, or, but I guess there's no permanent damage. But then I got to drive the bus or the van this trip in Guatemala, and It is a little challenging, especially at night, and your lights are really dim, and nobody's got brake lights, so, and there's a lot of speed bumps. And anyway, it was the first night, and I really didn't know where all the speed bumps were on the way to the clinic, but I hit one going pretty fast, and a few people hit their heads on the roof in the van. So I've got helmets. They may not be very durable, but she's more than welcome to bring this, and hopefully that will help in the future.
Oh, man, thank you.
Amen.
I'll wear it. It wasn't night. I'll just put it that way. It was daytime. It was like 9 a.m. Like, it's really sunny. You could see it. He just was too busy talking to Brother Clovis or Brother Stone to see it. He was distracted. But he's also the optical lead, so I feel like someone who's the optical lead probably should be able to see. You've been asking for it. So I don't know how well those patients got served, but yeah. So we had a really good time going to Guatemala. As he said, I've been on a lot. I don't like getting up here because I don't know about you, but I don't like talking in front of people. So I'm going to keep it very short and follow my notes. I would say that there's a lot of different things that you can get when you go on these trips, but the two biggest things that I enjoy on these trips is, number one, getting to meet and get to know your missionaries. Working for HBC, I get to pay them every month, so I see their names, but I don't know who they are and what their story is and what they enjoy to do on the side, you know, for fun. So when you go on these trips, you get to see that. You get to know them, you get to hang out with them, you get to serve alongside of people. And you get to really know somebody when you get to watch them serve alongside you and helping other people. You get to see their true character. And so I enjoy getting to know our missionaries better that way. And then the second thing is working alongside your church members. I mean, you can go to church with somebody, but when you're riding in a bus trying to survive, like Cheyenne and Amber and I are in the... I mean, have you ever been in the back seat of a 15-passenger van? Like, it is the bumpiest spot anywhere. So you hit that going 40 miles an hour. I'm surprised they don't have a permanent brain damage, I mean, honestly. You bond closely with people. You know, if you almost die trying to go see a cave behind a waterfall in Honduras, like, or slip cliff jumping, because we do smart things. We're going to do a safari in Uganda, and I'm just really hoping that we're okay. No one tries anything. Phil's not driving. We're hiring a bus driver this time for Uganda, so we're safe, I think. Yeah. We're going to have to make sure Pastor goes on every trip from now on, and he drives. But I enjoy getting to work with my fellow church members and getting to know them. It was a good opportunity to meet Miss Sim and talk with her and Brother Stone. I wasn't around when they were here the first time, so it was great for me to be able to get to know them and have a lot of opportunity to talk with them. I've gotten to know various church members a lot better because we've worked together. And when you are running through airports or working through long delays or going up a four-hour mountain ride, trying not to, you know, puke because it's just so terrible sometimes. Or simply just having fun sitting there before the clinic gets busy, waiting for patients to come through. You get a chance to get to know people. And I've really enjoyed getting to do that on these trips. And I'm thankful that y'all support us and you pray for us and you stand behind us when we go. But I also encourage you guys to go. Even if you do it just once and you don't do it again, it'll be worth it because you'll get to see the way that people live. You'll get to see what God is doing with the money that you give. And it's different when you get to watch it in action versus just writing a check. So thank you for letting us go. Thanks for the hat. I don't think it'll help, but.
Good evening. So, first thing I want to thank, God, I'm going to do this, aren't I? I want to thank the Jameses. They have a tremendous ministry. It is just beyond anything that I could have imagined, and it was wonderful. And then I want to thank the church because we support them. And what they do is just, I don't know how to put it into words. So we had the opportunity to join and to go along, and my pride and joy here said, "Dad, we're well-traveled. We should do that." And I'm kind of a control freak, and I think y'all kind of learned that on the trip. And I go, "I don't know about this, Sonny." "Oh, no, we can do this. We can do this." And I go, "Okay." So I'm nervous going up to this, and it seemed like everything in my life went wrong right up to the day we were supposed to leave. Literally, there was a lot of pressure on me to go, "No, don't go." He comes home from school on Thursday afternoon with 101 fever. We're leaving in 30 hours. And so I go, "Oh my goodness, we're not going." And he's going, "Oh no, we're going." And so he takes Advil, he goes to bed, he gets up the next morning, goes to school, knowing that if he didn't go to school, I wasn't going to let him go. And so he said, "I got feeling better through the day," and he came home Friday evening, we packed, and 5 hours later, we're headed to the airport. In the process of that, I texted Miss James, and I'm literally just feeling the burden. And I look up, and I ask God, "What's going on here?" And it instantly becomes focused, laser focused, that there's a wall between you and what I need you to be. And you need to do it. And I said, "Great, we're doing it." And I said, "We're going" at that point. And I couldn't have made a better choice. I couldn't have showed my son a better thing. I just can't explain how they drew us in. We got to Guatemala, and it's a poor country. But these people are happy. They're tremendously happy. They're content and they're happy, and they just drew you in. The young people in that church made me feel like I was 20 years old again. I mean, they drew me in and taught me Spanish and then laughed at me. And and it was pretty tremendous. Actually, Rosie was the one that got the news meeting. "Oh, no, you got to interview this big gringo who doesn't know how to speak Spanish." And I think you were right, Miss Rachel, that everybody showed up to see that big gringo who couldn't speak Spanish.
Speak Spanish.
Speak Spanish. There you go. So what is sigo?
Siga a mi hijo.
Por favor.
Yes.
Follow my son, please. And when I would say that, the women would sit there and they would look over at Chris and they would giggle. And then they would say something to Javier, who was my translator, and that young man was... he was a blessing. Yeah. Those young people were a blessing tremendously. And they would say something to Javier, and he'd just smile, and Chris would stick his arm out, and the ladies would go, and they'd take their seat, and I'd look at him, and he goes, "They think your son is very handsome." And I would just go, I would go, "Yeah, I think that's great." So Christopher did a wonderful job, and I knew he would, Miss James. I had no doubt that he was going to be a big help, and he was. And it was a blessing beyond anything I could imagine. And so if you get the opportunity, I would definitely go. In fact, I think Aaron Ratledge was the convincing voice when he came up here last year that we needed to do this. And so I can't tell you enough how blessed we were to be able to do this. And I hope that it helped him. I know it helped me tremendously. Is there anything you wanted to say, mi hijo?
So I would like to say that... riding in the back of that van was not fun. You hit that speed bump going like 40 miles an hour, and that hurt my head. I need one of those helmets too for the next time we go. And I did not really ride in the back of that truck up the side of the mountain, Miss Rachel. Halfway I had to walk because the truck decided it wasn't going to go any further. It just sounded like it was dying.
I should have gave them a stick to put up here. So they put 13 young people in the back of a little Toyota.
We put 13 of us in the bed of a Toyota Tacoma and tried to drive up the side of a volcano in first gear with the truck crying at us.
Yeah.
And finally they just stopped and we all had to get out and walk up the volcano because the truck decided it was not feeling right.
Yeah, the truck gave up and they had to, I think they helped push it up the hill too. But
yeah.
So, and it was a blessing. Like I say, I could go on, and I'm not gonna. The opportunities that this body in Christ has provided me is tremendous. And I thank everybody for that, and I thank mostly God. Because God put me here, and he put him here. And so we're going to do this fall, if that's okay, we're going to jump in and do another one because it was just that tremendous. So thank y'all.
I cough like 30 minutes before I had to sing tonight, so I sound like a frog. There's a reason why I have allergies, so pardon me. I did not know what to expect on this trip. I'm curious. I'm a curious person. I'm nosy, and I like to learn things. It doesn't matter how old I am. I'm curious. And so when the mission trip came to, as an offer for us to go, I thought, okay, let's do it. And then she told me about elevation. And I remember being sick I get very sick with elevation sickness because I used to get really sick going to the youth ski trips there in Colorado. And I thought, okay, but I'll do it. I'm surrounded by nurses, surely I'll be fine. So going there was exciting, but I did not know what to expect since it was my first time. So I was excited. And Miss Rachel got me all patched up, and I thought I was going to do great for nausea and stuff like that the first day where I was good to go. And then they told us we were going to have a nice hotel. And we get to a hotel room, and I'm like, did they give us the right room? What in the world? And I'm going to share with y'all my human side. And then hopefully during this trip, the Lord transformed me and taught me something about contentment and godliness. And knowing having godliness is great gain. He taught me that verse over and over again while I was on this trip. But that first day I was there, that lesson wasn't there yet. It didn't hit my head yet. So we walked in that hotel room, and I literally said, okay, let's look at the sheets. Is there any bugs in there? Do I have to sleep with my clothes on? Just stuff like that. And I wiped everything down again. And then they close at the hotel. They close a gate. It's all, every property has bars and gates that they close at a certain time at night. And I thought, oh my goodness, what are we doing here? What am I doing here? And then she said, don't drink the water. Just things like that. And what am I supposed to just drink only bottled water? What, I have to wash my face? Everywhere I looked, poverty is just shocking to me. And so here I am just being absolutely spoiled, American, selfish, just absolutely out of my element. So, okay, we're going to go to sleep with most of my clothes on. And because I'm tired from our airplane trip. And 4 o'clock in the morning, I wake up and I got a little headache. Okay, it should be just fine. I'll just take a couple of Tylenols. 5 o'clock in the morning, I've got a migraine. Oh no. And this, I need Miss Rachel. 5:30 in the morning, I need Miss Rachel. And so I told my husband, go find Miss Rachel for me. I need her now. And he knocks on Savannah's door at 5:30 in the morning. And she's like, I'm not opening the door for you. You have to go somewhere else. And I told him, 6:30 in the morning, I need her now. Everything that was in my body a week prior or all that day just left my body. So I'm being real. Every direction, it just left my body. And I was sick to my stomach and nothing in my stomach. Miss Rachel comes and rescues me. She sticks an IV to me, and I felt relief that day. But I had to sleep the very next day all day long because of elevation sickness. So on my notes here, I said, if Miss Rachel James comes running towards me with a needle, I am going to run towards her. And no fear of needles anymore. But then the next day, we went to the clinic, and I was doing better. I did what I could with my wobbly self, and I saw how the clinic worked, how the medical missions worked, the people, and the gratitude, and the love, and the hospitality. And I just realized, Sam, you need to just put yourself to the side. Put yourself to the side and stop being so consumed with your material things. And so that's when the Lord taught me contentment. I don't need fancy things. I don't need anything but the Lord. And I just need to be content. And as we grew and throughout the week and stuff, the Lord just kept on speaking to my heart. I found love with the people. I love the country of Guatemala. It does not matter to me that the hotel was not 5-star anymore. Just things like that. I was completely transformed. By Friday, it was the most comfortable bed I've ever slept in. That's how the Lord changed my heart. And I don't know why they call it Fun Day. It was not a fun day. It was 500 steps of volcano. Oh my goodness. Every 10 steps, I had to stop and breathe. Going down, it was fine. I could just kind of roll down and my legs were wobbly. That's fine. But going up, every 10 steps, my husband's like, honey, you can make it. You can make it. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. And I'm thankful for this man for being next to me the whole way, because I couldn't believe I made it. But what I've learned is contentment. And if I could do it all over again, I would. I would, and a medical missions trip would be my choice than just a regular missions trip. So I love the James family, and I'm glad that I had this experience. And if y'all could do it, I challenge y'all to take it. Let's do it.
All right, I'm gonna stick to my notes too. I've never been out of the country, except when we were in Washington State. I did go to Canada a few times. And, of course, I was in the Army. I was in Europe, but that doesn't count. It wasn't a missions trip. Being in the ministry 30-plus years, and I've never gone on a missions trip, I really never had a desire to go on a missions trip. I'm an American, and I'm more than happy to live and grow and die in America. Never had any real desire to go anywhere. But when I got here, Pastor said, you're going on a mission trip. I mean, literally, I didn't have a choice. And I just said, well, okay, I want to do it, so I'll do it. So actually, you know what, let me back up. Well, no, so we went. So I went on the mission trip, got on there. And I want to say, first of all, that couple right there, the James family, I want to read a verse because this came to my mind when I thought about them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, this is what I think about when I think about the Jameses. 1 Corinthians 16, 15 says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And that's how I feel about the Jameses. I've never met anybody so not only passionate about a ministry, but compassionate to the people that they serve. They were so detail-oriented, it almost drove me nuts. But I know that you had to. You absolutely had to do it that way. And I couldn't understand until we got there and I saw the reason why. But They were tireless. It appeared to be tireless, but I know that she was frazzled and wore out. I didn't know that what she was doing all week wasn't normal. I didn't know that she didn't run back and forth all the time on every missions trip, but man, she was like Ricochet Rabbit, you know, bing, 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 Ricochet Rabbit. I don't know if you remember Ricochet Rabbit. I guess I'm showing my age, but she was just everywhere all the time. And I think one of the greatest things that I saw about Miss Rachel in particular was no man left behind. When we were coming in and out of the airports, she was not about to leave, or she was going to be the last one in. And Brother Clovis and Mrs. Hale, they weren't necessarily in as big a hurry as we were at times. And we kind of were worried about them at a couple of times because we thought the plane was going to go. And Mrs. Rachel was standing right there. She said, I'm not leaving till I'll wait for them. You guys go on and get on the plane. You guys go. Get in line. Go. I'm waiting for them. I'm not leaving. I'm staying right here. What a blessing that couple is right there. And then I'm telling you, the parents, they just impress me as parents, bringing those little kids. And the children, just amazing. She actually apologized to me one time because Brother Eddie, literally, I call him Brother Eddie, because Eddie had been cooped up in a bus for 7 hours and had a little meltdown in the airport on the way home in Guatemala. And it really wasn't even, but she was apologizing for his meltdown. I said, this doesn't even qualify. I mean, it really didn't. I was so impressed with those children because a three-hour bus trip from the hotel or from the church back to the airport was supposed to be a three-hour trip. It ended up being almost 7 hours. But anyway, I can't say enough about this couple right here and the ministry that God has given them, and truly addicted to the ministry. I can see that all over them. All right, now let me just say this quickly. My scariest moment in Guatemala, unlike my wife, I wasn't scared of the environment. I was okay with that, but when Miss Rachel came in there and took me from counting pills and said, hey, we need another optical station, and I'm going to teach you how to do it. And so I said, okay, I want to be willing. So I walked out there with her, and she's doing this and this and this and this, and she turned her back, and I ran away. And I went back into the room where my wife was, and I said, she's got the wrong person. I can't do that. I'm in the wrong room. I need to be somewhere else. I was scared to death. I did not want to do that. These are people's eyes. I mean, seriously, this isn't a joke. This is for real stuff, and I was truly afraid to work with people's eyes. I don't have that kind of knowledge, but she grabbed me and she said, you're going to do fine. And she did about 10 with me standing there next to her. And then she said, okay, you're up. And she left me. She didn't even help me with the rest. She said, if you have any questions, just go get Phil. So I struggled through a few of them. I struggled through, I don't know, a half a dozen. And then and then I went to you. How many times did I go to you? Oh, my goodness, I went to Brother Phil so many times. But he helped me. He was never flustered with me. He stopped what he was doing. He answered every question that I had and helped me. And I was able to help those folks. So I did it. I learned how to do it, and it was a blessing. And it did require a lot of patience at times. So that was the scariest moment. Let me tell you the most rewarding moment. And you've already heard this from Brother Ratledge, but it's absolutely true that the most rewarding thing, I think, is working in the with the eyes, with the optical, because you have instant gratification. In the medical side of it, you might not have that. You can give somebody some medicine, you can treat them, you can tell them what to do, but they're going to walk out still hurting, maybe. But in the optical, 9 times out of 10, you're able to help them right then and there. You're able to give people a new lease on life by giving them a pair of glasses. The chart started at 0 to 11, 11 being the tiniest one, 0 being the title on the chart that said eye chart or whatever it said. There were some people came in and they were at a 0. They all they could see was that big sign. They couldn't see number one, two, all the way down. They couldn't see it. So the most rewarding moment for me was one individual that I remember came in and was at a zero. And through process of elimination and just through working with her, and it takes time. I mean, sometimes we're with one person for 30 or 40 minutes or longer sometimes. And she ended up walking out of there with a pair of glasses where she could see a 7 or 8. And she was elated. I mean, tears were flowing at times. And it changed her life. I mean, now she can work. Now she can get a job. Now she can read. Now she can do things that she could not do before. And you can't imagine. I had people coming up to me and hugging me. I'm serious. And that's what she was talking about. Little old ladies were coming up to me because I would get them a pair of glasses and they could read their Bible. And one lady was so blind, she couldn't see me standing in front of her. And we got her a pair of glasses, and she said, "Oh, I see you now." And she said, "You're wearing glasses." And I took my glasses off. She said, "You just took your glasses off." I said, "You can see me?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Am I handsome?" She said, "No." But she hugged me, and it was a blessing. But honestly, so I'll give you the scariest moment, the most rewarding moment, and then the most disappointing or the most heartbreaking period is when someone sits down and you literally have to say, "I can't help you. Your condition is too severe. I can't help you." And that has happened. It happened, I don't know, 4 or 5 times, not too awful many, but there were some times when we just had to say, "We can't help you." So again, I've never been on a mission trip. This was my first one. I'm kind of like my wife a little bit. The bed was uncomfortable. I have a bad back. I'm pretty spoiled and pampered. My wife got sick the first day. I'm like, "Oh, man, this is great. My wife's sick." So I babysat her the entire second day, her first day. I don't remember now, because she slept like 11 hours straight that next day. The bed was uncomfortable. My wife got sick. The days were long. I was having issues with my C4 and C5, and my shoulder and my arm and my hands were killing me the whole time that I was there. And then on the way back, that bus ride from 3 hours to 7 hours. Let's just say by the time I got home, I said to myself, "Okay, I've done scratched that itch. This is a one and done for me. I got it out of my system." And boy, God kept saying, "Well, that sure is selfish of you. Was that all about you? Was this mission trip all about you?" And then Brother Yap had to come preach a message called, "Are You All In?" And quite honestly, prior to that, prior to him coming, the Lord had worked on me enough where I said, I'm sorry, Lord, it's not about me at all. It is about others. And I do want to go again. I want to go back. And then Brother Yap came and he preached that message, "Are You All In?" And I said, "Yes." And now I can't wait to spend my birthday in Honduras. I'm so excited. So that's all I have to say. I just want to say, if brethren, put the money aside. Do a little here and a little there, but make a way. Go on one of these mission trips. You will not regret it. I promise you. Yes, the comfort. Look, it's a third world country. What do we expect, right? And so just come. Just come. It'll change your life. I'm 60 years old. I never desired to go on a mission trip. I finally went on one, and the only thing that I regret about it is that I didn't do it sooner. That's it. What else do we have? It's 8:07. We probably should stop, huh? Are we done? We're done? Can I read a poem? I was gonna preach a message to you a little bit, about a 5-minute message, but I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna finish this with a poem here. Do you have something to say afterwards? This poem's called Others. You may have heard it. I think it was written by Dr. Jack Hiles. It says, "Lord, let me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do, ever to be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep, nor rise again, and may all efforts be in vain unless they be for others. And when my work on earth is done and my new work in heaven begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I may live like thee. Amen. All right, well, let's stand together, and we'll pray, and we'll be dismissed. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead and stand. We're going to have to forego the prayer time, okay? But we will take up an offering. I think Pastor would get on to me if I didn't at least do that. And you know why? Is it because you're all about money? No, now we're all about others. We're about missions. We're about missions trips. And I can't wait to go again. I really can't. I don't know about Uganda, though. I mean, I guess I'd go, but a safari? I can say I never had a desire to go to a third world country. At this point right now in my life, I have no desire to be real close to an elephant or a lion or a tiger. I have no desire to be that close to those animals. But if it's the Lord's will, I would do it. But it's Pastor's turn. He said one of us have to go. And so it's his turn, and so I'll go on the next trip. And he's already got his shots and everything, right? So he's not going to waste all that. All right. All right, men, y'all go ahead and come on forward. This is going to be kind of a different way to do it. I've done this at my church in the past when I seem to be running a little long. I'm going to go ahead and pray, if that's all right. In fact, what I'll do is I'm going to pray, and when the plate passes you, you may be dismissed. All right? Let's do it like that. Is that all right? That way we don't have to get up here and pray twice. You just, when the plate passes you, we can be dismissed. Let's pray. Our Father, we love you and we thank you for really, I just want to say I thank you for the James family. What a difference they've made in my life. And Lord, not just mine, countless others throughout the years where they have ministered in third world countries, bringing medicine and the gospel to those in desperate need of both. Lord, thank you for them, and I pray that you'd continue to bless this ministry. Thank you for each person that got to go. I'm grateful for Brother Scott and Brother Chris. I really enjoyed being with them and meeting them and seeing them and working alongside of them. Miss Savannah and Amber and Eddie and Abby. Lord, what a blessing it was. And I'm looking forward to the next one. So, Lord, I pray that you lay it on the hearts of others to go as well and to be a part of this great work. As Nehemiah said, it's a great work. It's a great work. Father, I pray you'd bless the offering now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.